Good evening to you all, dear brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, I would like to give thanks to the Lord for such an impressive presentation of your pastor, Dr. Rick Phillips. I have had the privilege and the joy of listening to his lectures and commentaries on several books of the Bible, and I want to let all of you know that our preachers in Cajamarca were highly blessed as well as very much impressed by his deep teaching of the Word of God, and you have the great privilege of having a great mind addressing to you all the time. And we mean that he may come again next year in the month of August to teach about 40 leaders in our church there, all the way from the coast to the highlands. Thank you, Pastor Ricks, for offering that privilege for us next year. Secondly, I would like to thank you, all the ladies of this church, for making such a wonderful food for tonight. And I always enjoy being here and eating so well. I say myself that I'm a sweet tooth, so I enjoy everything you did, and especially this nice apple pie tonight. I would like to thank you, every one of you, for praying for our mission work in Peru. I will say this without any doubt, that every time we feel in danger as we work in the mountains or as we travel to difficult roads, we feel very much uplifted by your prayers. And we always think that we have a great army of God's people praying for us, not only here, but in other states of this land. In the third place, I would like to thank you for giving us the opportunity of coming here from Cajamarca and paying our way back and forth, and that for us is a great blessing. And we hope that in this partnership and cooperation between your church and ours, we may be fully aware that the Lord is great, and indeed, if we place ourselves in the hands of God, he can do mighty things, even to weak people such as we are. Let's turn to the Word of God tonight and read a few verses from his Bible. Let's turn ourselves to chapter 55 of the book of the prophet Isaiah. Let's look to the verses 12 and 13. Thus says the word of God, "For you will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth into shouts of joy before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn, instead of the thorn bush, the cypress will come up, and instead of nettle, the myrtle will come up, and it will be a memorial to the Lord for an everlasting sign which will be not cut off." May the Lord add his blessing on his word. Let's look to him in prayer. Our most heavenly Father, we turn to you in thankfulness, for you alone are the only one who have sustained us throughout the ages as a church, and you have sustained even us as people of your fold. We thank you, Father, for the presence of your Spirit throughout these hundreds of years with this church here in Second Press, Greenville, South Carolina. And we thank you, Father, for their partnership with us in Peru. We thank you, Father, for having allowed them and having given them the vision for missions into the whole world, and for having looked upon our country and sent people to help us throughout these years. We praise your name, O Lord, for there is nothing that can stand in your way as you deal with the growth of your church throughout the earth. We praise your name, O Lord, for everything you've done so far for us and with us. And we pray that in the years to come, this partnership may never be exhausted, and that you may raise continually more and more men and women that are willing to place their lives into your hands, as some of them testify tonight of what we can do, and most of all, what you can do through us. We pray, O Lord, for your Holy Spirit to be always in our hearts and minds, and that we be mindful of your work, of your kingdom, and the missions for Christ Jesus. It is in the Lord Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. I remember 19 years ago to be hosted by Mr. Gordon and his wife, Robbie Hauser. It was the first time I came to South Carolina. I also remember my dear brothers, Ligon Duncan and Duncan Rankin, telling me, for the first time, you are going to visit the Garden of Eden, South Carolina. That's the way they talked about South Carolina all over RTS campus in Jackson. And I'm very pleased tonight to have been meeting here to his brother Mel and his dear mother Shirley, who is here with us as well. We met each other in Scotland back in 1991 when she was over there visiting her son. Of course, all of us have to be grateful to the Lord for everything he's done for us. But if I would like to point to two people who have mostly influenced my life in the United States, I have to mention the names of Lick Duncan and Duncan Rankin. They still mean a lot to us. They have shaped our minds for missions. In a way, I would say that I began to learn theology in Scotland. But the place where I opened my eyes to the mission fields was in RTS Jackson, Mississippi. Our teachers there were very much mission-minded, and I was able to be around about 40 representatives of 40 different countries of the world, all the way from Africa to South America. And it was there, when the Lord opened my eyes, that the field for missions was ripe, and yet the laborers were few. I came to RTS with a project that I wrote in Peru together with our presbyters in the Presbytery of Cajamarca, and the Lord soon helped me gather a group of people that were willing to give themselves up to the Lord in the mission field of Cajamarca. And I also remember my dear brother, Pastor Robert Spears, all the time encouraging us to study hard and to preach faithfully the Bible and the Reformed faith in those places. So I'm here tonight to say a few things about chapters 54 and 55 of Isaiah. In chapter 54, the prophet talks about the fulfillment of the new covenant, in which we have Zion as the new center of the world. This is the vision of the prophets. Very much in the Old Testament, the prophets, when they talk about God, they look at the whole world as a mission field for the Lord. In the imagery of this passage of Isaiah 54, we see Abrahamic blessings like Genesis 12:1-3 and Genesis 18, where the Lord commands Abraham and his descendants to become a blessing to the whole world. And of course, in Mount Sinai, the Lord made Israel into a kingdom of priests and the light of the nations. And I would say that that is the job of the church today. Jesus Christ said that a lamp placed on a mountain cannot be hidden. So the church of Christ must be now the light to the world. In this chapter as well, we find the promise that Israel will inherit and will occupy the whole world under God's presence. Sometimes people say, but this has not yet come to be true. But I will say it is becoming true every day as we do missions, be it here or be it abroad. In chapter 55, all the faithful of God are invited by the Lord to this great banquet, maybe even better, such as we had tonight here. And this invitation is addressed particularly to the restored people of Israel, to the faithful remnant of Israel, to which Jehovah remains always faithful. It's talking about the exiles of Israel. They were captive in Babylon at that time. But they invite them to initiate a new exodus from Babylon all the way to Jerusalem. The Lord is faithful, and he invites us to go out, to go forth, taking his gospel to the ends of the earth. And we come to verses 12 and 13 of this passage. These verses teach us that all those who obey the call of the Lord are bound to begin a new exodus towards Yahweh and his great work on this earth. And only then, his faithful, will find happiness. Christians may never experience full happiness until they place their lives and all they have under the powerful hands of our Lord. Sometimes before we do that, we may wonder what it will happen to me if I give myself up to the Lord. That was also my question when I was 35 years old. I would tell to myself, well, you are an engineer. You are doing well now in the country. You are invited here and there to do many jobs. You have to choose what job to take up. What will be of you if you become a preacher for the Lord Jesus Christ? And all the time, the answer will be something like this. If you have the Lord with you, that is more than sufficient. If we walk under the Lord's guidance, that will be enough. And as Christina said, no matter who you think you are, once you go in the name of the Lord to serve him, he will have always something for you to do. Even if it is to hug a couple of kids and make them happy for a couple of minutes, or for a couple of days, or for a couple of weeks, or for a couple of years, the Lord is using you in his grace to be a blessing to others. The general thrust of this verse 12 in Isaiah chapter 55 is that the restoration of the Lord's people only depends upon the undeserved mercy and grace of God. This is what Calvin said on this verse. And this verse particularly teaches us two divine principles that we should always have in mind. First, that everything which they shall meet on their journey towards Jerusalem, although it may be sometimes tough roads, or armies on the way, or any other obstacle, all of those obstacles in the end will not stand to the Lord's power. They will be smashed away. They will be undone, so that their way towards Jerusalem will be an easy way to follow. And secondly, verse 12 teaches us that all creatures in this world would in the end bow their knees before the Lord. And this is also what Paul teaches in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 to 11, that there will be one day when every tongue shall confess and every knee shall bow on earth, in heaven, and under the earth, that God the Father is the glorious God, and everyone shall confess that Jesus Christ is the only King of this earth. The passage says that the mountains will leap of joy, that all hills will be brought down, and all will be flat lands for God's people to walk through it. Sometimes, as we go into the mission fields high up in the mountains, in these so-called dirty villages and dirty shanty towns, we think we may face several difficulties. I remember one day a man talking to Wes Baker in these shanty towns in Trujillo, where they are known to be filled with thieves and burglars and all those so-called bad people of the shanty towns in Peru. And there was Wes walking around with some other evangelists, and somebody came before him and said, "What are you doing here, gringo?" And he said, "Well, I want to plant a church here." And they said, "Don't you know that this place is full of burglars and thieves and all bad people and people of ill reputation?" And he asked them, "Is that true?" "So of course it is." So then Wes Baker told them, "Well, then, I am in the right place." Can you imagine if the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of glory, would have asked that question to the Father, "Father, are you sending me down to the earth, an earth filled with sinners of the worst kind, and people that are bad and mean and sinful? Are you sending me to them? Do you mean for me to be walking amongst them?" The Father will have, "Yes, son, there I am sending you." And yet, the gospel writer John will say that we saw the King of glory here dwelling with us on earth. So you never fear when you are called to the mission field, because this earth, even though many bad things you may be able to see around, it is the Lord's world. It's the Lord's earth. And here we are to work for Him and to preach His gospel so that many people will be saved, because that's the way in His providence that He has decided to gather all His people to Himself. If the mountains shall leap for joy, if the Lord will bring down all obstacles, how do we apply that word to us here? I remember that a few years ago here, your church was surrounded by people of ill reputation, isn't it? What's happening now? New buildings are coming up. New neighbors will come in very soon. Apartments are being built. Fish will be coming to your nets. You have a new opportunity to witness to the Lord in this area. Truly, the Lord puts down every obstacle that you may be able to see in order that His glory may shine in the hearts of people. And to us in Peru, it also means that no matter what kind of obstacles we may meet, sometimes in the mission field we say, "Well, we don't have any money to build this church. Here There is a pastor preaching and all his family are living in one single room like in Chulucanas. We don't know any means to divide his place and put a kitchen and put a bathroom there and so on. Sometimes we complain about it. Some other times, as we go through these rough roads on the mountains, we wonder whether we will be able to buy new tires for a car or not. And yet, so many times, the Lord surprises us. It seems that if from nowhere, he says, well, here is the money, build a church. Here is the money, buy the new tires. And that literally happened this last time when you sent this group of missionaries to Chulucanas. My tires were in the last thread. But I said, I just had to go. 40 minutes before we came into Piura City, my left front tire blew out into pieces. First, the Lord saved our lives. The car not even shook at all. We were able to stop very smoothly and change it for another old tire. The police came and even helped us to change the tire. With my wife Esther and these three people from the countryside that you saw there working in putting fire on this shaft, they were very much afraid, they were terrified. And we were wondering on the road, how can we be able to replace those tires? And your pastor, Robert Spears, he realized that. And your team also, and he said, okay, use some money from this budget and buy the tires. So we have tires for the next year again. That's the way the Lord answers. Sometimes our complaints, sometimes our doubts. Let's go to verse 13. Instead of thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. First, the prophet continues to extol the power of God. This power is to be visible in the restoration of Israel. His power is visible now when many sinners come to the Lord, when people who never thought that they would hear the gospel, they hear the gospel now, and they praise the Lord in his own word. Second, the prophet speaks here of the departure of his people from Babylon. He lets people know that Yahweh will remove every single obstacle to be found in their lives. And I have testified to you that he does that every time. He surprises us many, many times. Sometimes we think, well, what will happen this year? We don't have any budget coming up. And yet, sooner or later, the Lord would answer your prayers and our prayers. And this verse finally teaches us that the name of the Lord is to remain forever and shall be to Jehovah for a name, teaching us about the purpose of the restoration of the Lord's church, which means that the name of God may be more glorious among men. It is for his remembrance of his great love and mercy that he has redeemed us to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we must keep proclaiming the name of God, the name of Christ. We must keep proclaiming the power of the Spirit. And this is the sign for us until he comes again and usher in fullness his kingdom in this new world. How can we apply this verse to us? We must think that we are living today upon this newly inaugurated new age that Christ has ushered in with his resurrection. As the church participates in this command of Christ to go forth and plant his church, establish his church, and preach his name, preach his redemption, proclaim his grace, his love, to proclaim his atoning work to proclaim his commands, to proclaim his claims upon the lives of men and women, and to proclaim his power. And as we proclaim his heaven, also we must proclaim how horrendous it will be for someone to stand in front of the Lord's court without the atoning blood of Jesus Christ. This is the business of vision. This is what we do wherever we go in Peru. We are not there just to proclaim the church, as good as the church it may be. We are there to proclaim the atoning power of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are there to proclaim the word of Christ. We are there to proclaim the kingship of Christ, the love of Christ, his mighty forgiving power. That's what we are there for. And as we partner together throughout these 20 years, we are always reminded to be faithful to the word of God and to be faithful to the teaching of our forefathers, to remain faithful to the Reformed faith. We are not just there to plant churches in general. I would lie if I would tell you that. We are there to plant Reformed churches based and grounded upon the word of the Lord. And we would like to thank you for sending for so many years teams to work with us. I have a special gratefulness to you as a Church of Christ here, because from the very first day in 1995, when I became a student in RTS, this was the first church in the United States to send their gift to support my tuition in that seminary. And I cannot be more grateful than for that. And you have remained the most faithful supporters of all the times, even up today. And for that, I give all thanks and all glory to God, and all gratefulness also to you for being faithful, for being kind, for being loving to us. And there is other things for which I am also grateful to this church. As I look upon everybody here, I see Willie Madrid and Elizabeth Johnson. All of those things happen because of the Lord's providence. There is nothing outside his providence. And I do think and pray and believe that our partnership has been in the very mind of God from all eternity. I have always had a little fight with some mission theologians of this country. They think that the mission of God began after the fall. And as I read the Bible more and more, and as I read the Confession of Faith more and more, and especially that chapter on the providence of God, and that chapter about God himself, I have come to the conclusion that not only the church was in the mind of God from all eternity. You cannot come to another conclusion when you read Ephesians chapter 1, that the saints in Ephesus were saved, were in the mind of God from the very eternity. And missions was also in the very mind of God from all times. And this is the God we serve. This is the God you serve. Let us continue to serve that glorious God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit throughout our lives and for all times until our last breath. May the Lord bless you.